How do we get from the first and only professional to have played in all six FIFA confederations to a Turkish forward who has played in England, Turkey, Brazil, Greece, Mexico, and France?
Hello and welcome to Wikipedia Wanderers with myself, Dave, and Josh. How are you doing, Josh?
Pretty good.
Good. Quite a wordy intro. Long time, isn't it?
Was. Stumbled over professional. Did everyone notice that? But clawed it back with seamless words thereafter. So, 9 out of 10.
Nine out of 10. That's your own rating for that intro.
Right, your own reviews, mate. Yeah.
I'm bloody hell. Fair enough. Goat series has come to an end. So, where'd you go from goats? You go on a journey.
Yeah. Can you see goats along the way?
Yeah.
Now, I've got a question for you. We're looking at journeyman, but what's the difference between a journeyman and a mercenary?
I feel like a mercenary, you can do it between two or three clubs and be a mercenary. I don't think journeyman is a lot of clubs, and no one's looking at who it was, it's just they know you've played for loads of clubs. Whereas a mercenary, like Carlos Tevez, right? United to City, that's mercenary. But he also has played for a number of clubs, Carlos Tevez.
But can you be a journeyman and play for the elite clubs? Nicolas Anelka, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, have they ever someone journeyman? They've gone around.
Do you think it links to success? Because journeymen don't really... Because is Peter Crouch a journeyman? Probably.
Yeah, Peter Crouch is a journeyman for sure.
Did he win?
Peter Crouch won anything?
That's what I was just thinking. I don't think he's won anything.
I think he was part of the Steven Gerrard FA Cup final against West Ham.
Oh, he might have been. Yeah, he might have been.
But yeah, not much in his locker.
So I think... Nicolas Anelka is definitely called a journeyman. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, I don't think he's called a journeyman because he's been probably successful.
Yeah, and probably not quite enough clubs, I'd say.
Yeah.
Is there a threshold? 10 plus?
Well, you said, when we were picking our players, you said 10 plus, and I've absolutely blown that out of the water with my guy. I think, is it a number or is it just... I still think like even 8 in a career is a lot. Like 7-8 professional clubs is a lot, especially if it's loan spatterings and full-time contracts and you're there for a year and then you go and then you... Yeah, it's something just doesn't sit right with me about it, about with journeyman.
So would you not like to have been a journeyman?
No, but that's what I think. I think I would have liked to have seen the world doing my sport.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think... Unless you like the world's best, it'd been great to use football as a way to travel the world.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't appreciate it at times during your 20s, and it's hard to be that kind of present of mind. You'd like just football. But especially maybe when you get into your 30s, going, you know what, I'm going to take this gig out in Canada and live out on, in all the west coast of the USA and do the Pacific Northwest or go down to Australia. It'd be lovely to do that.
And get paid for it, I think, is the key. Because footballers footballers can go and travel wherever they want anyway. They get so much money, like the top level ones. But I think to still get paid and do what you enjoy, I think is a good thing. Like, to my mind now, I'm thinking Gerard Piqué's just retired, right? Odd enough that he's done it in November, but World Cup coming up, didn't play in the World Cup, wants to give Barcelona basically their money back. He's not going to have regrets about staying at Barcelona, but do you think there's a tinge of him that's like, literally he's done Barcelona, Man United, Barcelona, he hasn't experienced playing anywhere else? Like,
he's not played for Preston North End.
No.
So
Bradford Park Avenue. He's not tried it. He's not done it. He's not gone out to Vancouver Whitecaps been.
So do we
playing...
think we? But this is the end of his career, isn't it? It's not just a.
Oh, it's a retirement.
This PK example. This is full retirement. Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I do think that I think I would have been a good end of career journeyman. I think it.
Oh, I did definitely. So you're a man who travelled around anyway and never been afraid to call a new place home. But yeah, so I wouldn't see. I would put myself more likely to be the one club man than you.
But I've worked for the same company, even though I've moved away. Still the same company. You've actually changed companies
City
more than me.
You'd just be part of a City Group. And
that's dirty. Don't put me in with that.
That's what you'd be. You'd be going to New York and...
Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe.
Oh, same club, same hierarchy. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Same hierarchy, I just can't get any higher in it.
Yeah.
Right, journeyman. Journeyman, Josh. I've got a world record holder as my guy. I don't know if many people know that. I think people might know the name. They might not know the man behind the name.
We may have never seen him play.
Yeah.
Lutz... Blink at your club and you'll miss it.
Yeah, well, definitely that. Yeah, Lutz Fannisteel is how we're going. There's a P, PF, so we're just ignoring the P and going Fannisteel. When I told you I'm going for this guy, you're like, yep, I heard of him. How had you heard of him? I'm interested.
Just by looking at Journeyman.
Oh, okay, yeah.
About 20 minutes earlier going, well, what's the most world-round Journeyman? Oh, it's this guy.
Damn, Dave's picked him.
Yeah.
Right. So Fannisteel is, his Wikipedia page even says, is most famously known for having played for 25 different clubs all around the world during his career. I mean, 25 is ridiculous. Stints in Germany, Malaysia, England, New Zealand, Singapore, United States, Brazil, South Africa, Finland, Canada, Namibia, Norway, Armenia, and Albania. And it does make him...
Footballing powerhouses there.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It does make him the only professional footballer that's played in every FIFA confederation you can, all six. And Josh has a lovely little rhyme to list off the continents, and he's played in all of them other than one. So go, Josh.
Asia, Africa, North and South America, Europe, Antarctica, and finally Australia.
Yeah, there he's played in all of those continents other than Antarctica. However, he has been the manager and goalkeeping coach for the Antarctica 11 in 2009 and 2010.
He knows what he's doing there. He's going, well, I could... This is to get a world record. Because, I mean, they're not... I thought Antarctica was full of scientists, basically. On for like 6 months on, 6 months off. So I don't reckon, now correct me if I'm wrong, they've got the facilities there. I don't know, they've got a big indoor football pitch. Well,
they aren't FIFA, I was going to say qualified, that's not the right
regulated
word.
Regulated,
yeah. They're not so they can't compete and they can't even try and qualify for the World Cup. They're not a known FIFA nation, I guess, is the thing to call it. But yeah, I mean, he's bounced around all over the place. Was offered a contract by Bayern Munich when he was a youngster, but turned it down because he thought he would never be their first choice goalkeeper and wanted to play football, which I think is respectable. Until you look at his actual appearances that he's made.
No, yeah, he wants to play, but not for a full season.
Yeah. But in fact, what happened is he was playing for a team called 1FC Bad Kotsdam, which is quite a cool name. 68 appearances, which is be the most he ever made for one club. 0 goals, obviously being a goalkeeper, over 2 years. So two pretty much full seasons for them. Bayern Munich came knocking at the end of his contract. He turned them down. So thought the next best thing was to move to Malaysia. Signed for Penang FA in Malaysia, which was, again, an interesting choice. Then, and I've had to go and do some background reading and still couldn't find any information on this. Is about how he moved from Malaysia to the English Premier League with Wimbledon. A straight jump from Malaysia to the Premier League.
Yeah, Wimbledon getting the scouts out there.
Yeah, bonkers. Didn't play for them in the league, but did, again, reading separately away from Wikipedia, his ritual or initiation, I think, is the phrase that a lot of Premier League clubs are using in the nation, during a 2 kilometre warm-up jog around the Wimbledon area with his teammates. They pinned him down, stripped him naked, and he had to run back to the clubhouse naked. So that was the crazy
good
gang.
Good times. Yeah. That's just lovely behaviour there from a crazy gang.
He was there for a season. Obviously didn't enjoy that too much. Then joined Nottingham Forest. Stayed in England with Nottingham Forest. 2 seasons there. Didn't play a game, went out on
rumor
loan.
Has it, Nottingham Forest were looking at signing him this season.
Went on loan from Nottingham Forest for 1 year, two, because, you know, that well-trodden path, South Africa.
I mean, that's cool, though. Orlando Pirates, having that in your,
yeah, your back catalogue. 7 appearances for Orlando Pirates. Moved from there to TPV, where he played 8 games in 1997, and then moved to FC Haka, which I think both of those are in... Finland.
Finland, is it?
I want to say it's Finland. FC Hacker didn't play, moved back to Austria, sorry, for Wacker Bergenhausen. You know, and then thought, why not go back to Asia? So he joined Geylang United in Singapore, where I live. And, 46 appearances for Geylang. He played a lot of football.
Most appearances for a club.
Second most, after Bad Kotzing, his first club as a professional, who played 68. Whilst at Geylang, he got investigated for match fixing, spent 101 days in a Singapore prison, and then got found innocent. So, yeah, that all worked out well for him. Unsurprisingly, he left Singapore, but he did say it made him understand what freedom was, and like as a person, made him appreciate.
So he thought, I'll travel the world being a goalkeeper.
Yes. So after that, he moved to Dunedin Technical, and now I don't want to be harsh. I don't even know where they are. I don't know where that is.
I'm going to say Scotland.
I wanted to say Ireland. Yeah, that's what came to me. But maybe a click. Out there. He went on loan from there to Bradford Park Avenue, who are in Conference North. Played once for Bradford Park Avenue. Got a move to Huddersfield, which again, don't quite figure out how that works. I know Huddersfield would have been quite low down in 2001, I think. Like Division 3, maybe. Something like that. Went back to Dunedin Technical, where he played 18 times again for them. Moved from there to ASV Cham. From Cham, which again, don't know where that is. I'm going to guess that could be his Albania team.
I'm going more Asia, I think, with that one.
A bit more Asia? Okay, yeah, it could be a bit more Asia. Went on loan from there to Bradford Park Avenue again, where he played 14 times. And brace yourself for this. Died on the pitch. Died and was brought back to life by CPR, where he officially stopped breathing 3 times on the Bradford Park Avenue pitch, but came back to life after a collision with Clayton Donaldson, who was the striker at the time. Moved from there back to Dunedin Technical again, so that's his third stint.
Third stint, yeah.
Dunedin Technical, which is impressive, according that they are never mentioned in the text on his page. So,
and amazingly, makes 18 appearances each time.
I think they might have an 18-game season, Josh. That's what I'm thinking there. So
nice.
Yeah. Then he goes to Badam SK, which I'm pretty sure is Norway, for 13 games on loan. Then he goes to Canada for Calgary Mustangs.
Oh, I love it. Calgary Mustangs. What a name.
Yeah, great name, isn't it? Great name. From there, he goes to Otago United, Africa. Otago,
potentially, yeah.
From there, he goes to Vlasina Shrakoda, which that could be the Albanian team, I think. On to Bentonit Iljevan. Don't know where that is.
That could be Albania.
That could also be Albania, yeah. Back to Badam SK for 9 appearances. Back to Canada for Vancouver Whitecaps. Then back to Austria for Hermann Achinga. Then into Flekkeroy IL, which I'm going to assume is Scandinavia somewhere. Into Mangalun Star, and ended his playing career in Namibia, playing for Ramblers 45 times. So 477 league appearances, no goals, 5 caps for the German under-17 team. And then the contentious point of this whole page, Joss, I know there's a lot of clubs there, but teams managed, I feel, is a very vague thing to put all of this under. Because there's a lot of clubs.
Yeah, and it's the busiest teams managed section I think we've ever seen.
And a lot of them aren't managers.
No. Yeah, you've got like 1899 Hoffenheim, head of international relations and scouting. That doesn't belong in there.
No, but fun fact for you, he found Roberto Firmino.
Did he?
He was the man that found Firmino and brought him to Hoffenheim, yeah.
Again, Fortuna Dusseldorf, managing director of sports. And No.
So, I don't know if that's been, all of those have put in there as part of the journeyman. Playing up to the journeyman.
Part of me's happy to leave it because people come to this page wanting to see a journey, and that's a journey. But really, you really need to move some of the stuff into text.
Yeah.
Into body of text, but that's your actions.
Cheers, mate. Other things he's done, he's now a pundit alongside goalkeeper Oliver Kahn, who he didn't think he would replace when Bayern Munich came calling, so that makes sense. But he is... representative for BBC World News, CNN, Eurosport. He's a coaching instructor for FIFA. He's part of the German Football Association to educate coaches all over the world. He's set up a Global United FC, which is non-for-profit team raising awareness around climate change and stuff like that, which is ironic because he's flown so many places around the world. Yeah, he's just do you know what this strikes me? And he has played for a lot of clubs. It strikes me with a real love of football. He just wants to be involved and wants to try and play and is happy to travel and go anywhere to see what football's like. And I think I feel like you've got to applaud that. I feel like it's good.
If you were to have a stab at his style of play, what kind of goalkeeper do you think?
I think defensive. I don't think he's rushing out too much, especially after.
I've got the opposite opinion. I'm thinking he's a puncher. He's an eccentric puncher. I think he's just all over the place.
I think it changed after 2003. That collision with Clayton Donaldson, he changed his goalkeeping style.
Stuck on the line, did he?
I think after that he sticks on the line. I think, yeah, and that's why he goes down to Canada and potentially Albania and loads of places we don't know. So. He sticks on his line.
Not to mention he'd be what age? He started at 18 at Bad Kotzing, and then 2011. So he has a 30-year career. So 38, yeah.
Yeah, and he's only 49. Okay. He's done well, but that. So I've picked the starting point for this one is the ultimate journeyman. So I feel like I'm glad we're not ending on this one because I think you'd have to come through a broadcaster of some type to say he's a pundit for them and.
Yeah, it'll be their difficult, lineup. But I'm not saying I don't think my one's going to be easy. So I've gone for Colin Richards, or due to an error at his registration of his birth, Colin Kazim Richards. Kazim was meant to be his middle name.
Ah.
It's now actually a hyphenated surname. So Colin Kazim Richards, which I think people may know. I think more chance of knowing than Van der Steel.
Yes.
You memories of Colin Kazim Richards,
Sheffield United.
What you got?
Sheffield United. Yeah.
I've got Feyenoord, is it? And Fenerbahce, I think, is where I've got some memory of him. Feyenoord a bit later on. I think he actually had a decent, semi-decent season with Feyenoord.
Right winger striker, I remember him as. Quite quick.
Yeah, I'd say similar to Scott Sinclair, if I had to pick another player.
Okay.
I'd go for.
Nice.
You know, quite dribbly. I would say coming off the wing, yeah, maybe both. Quite two-footed-ish with the dribble, maybe. Doesn't get enough goals to what you think he's going to get. And but do you know the reason I chose him?
No.
So, one, he's a journeyman. But two, I remember there's a local pub quiz I sometimes go to. You joined me recently. And we got chatting to this couple in between one round. And their daughter was dating Colin Kazim Richards.
No way.
I was so proud. I was like, I don't know if I'll be proud about that. Just thinking how footballers' reputations are. But yeah, they were like, oh, he's such a lovely boy. I was like, yeah. So that's always stuck in my mind. Colin Kazim Richards is always stuck in my mind.
Nice.
Yeah, so, but Mr. Richards started his, born in East London, was youth career at QPR, Arsenal, then at the age of 18... age of 15, left to go up to Bury, up in the northwest, which was managed by Chris Casper, which a player you'll recognise.
Goalkeeper, ex-Man United goalkeeper, or is it?
Was he goalkeeper?
I swear Chris Casper was a goalkeeper.
I thought it was a centre back. Either way, he's who managed it. And so he's 15 there, but he gets his proper chance with Brighton. And Brighton sign him, do you remember, I think they might still do it, but he was nicknamed the Coca-Cola Kid. Can you think what the link is?
That was, you can buy your team a player through...
Yes, you get to, due to a kind of a competition, you can win effectively £250,000 for your club. And so a fan, Aaron Berry, won some for Brighton, and they signed Colin Kazim Richards. And then a year later, he wanted to hand in a transfer request. So, not the best choice. So then, let's go through his career. So we got Brighton, we got Sheffield, then we go to Fenerbahce. Played him in Champions League against Chelsea. Now, I'm not going to dwell on them, but there's a number of behavioural issues we see through his career here. You know, he's going out partying, or he's mainly partying. He seems to like the party.
Someone you want your daughter to date, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of think, where do you meet the daughter? But, his most appearances, for Fenerbahce, due to kind of those behavioural issues, was loaned to Toulouse for a season, comes back, Galatasaray, so he's played for Fenerbahce and Galatasaray. had a couple of loans at Olympiacos, then back to England with Blackburn Rovers. Do you remember that stint?
Big
remember
Sam.
A Blackburn Rovers shirt?
Is it Big Sam at Blackburn? Bought him in? It
doesn't say. What are we talking here? 2012? Not...
No, I'm not sure. Not sure. Not up on my Blackburn history.
It's probably going to be... So it's Championship. So I think it wasn't Big Sam Premier League with them.
Big Sam was Premier League, yeah.
Yeah. He seems to like the Turkish life, though. So we're going back to Bursaspor. Loan to Feyenoord. Does well. 11 goals in 27 appearances. Signed by Feyenoord. 1 goal and 11. Not great. We then have a move to Celtic, where he wins the Premier League with them. One of a few bits of silverware he's got. So he'd won the Super Cup with Fenerbahce a few years before, won the league with Olympiacos, won the league with Celtic. So he's, that's nice. That's a bit of honours. We didn't touch on any honours from Lutz, did he have?
Didn't have any.
Or he does have too many to list. So we've gone, we've gone around the house. We've been stuck in Europe, but then we go to Coritiba, Corinthians. So we've gone, let's branch out. We're going to Brazil. We're going to Mexico. We're going to, Veracruz, Pachuca, and then is it maybe Wayne Rooney comes calling, and we have a stint at Derby County. Up until literally the last two seasons, he's been at Derby County, 61 appearances, 13 goals. I really would have thought I'd have heard his name more, but. That Derby side also had Ravel Morrison in as well, didn't it?
It did, yeah. He's still there, I think.
I can't help but feel that the Derby nightlife was the spattering of Kazim Richards and Morrison with Rooney rocking up later on.
Yeah.
But then he's still playing, so age 36, just slightly younger than Dave and I. He's gone back to Turkey, I think,
No, give it a go. You always encourage me.
Fati Karagumruk.
Nailed it. Yeah.
And this is a player who actually has gone on to appear for Turkey as well. So he's made 37 appearances, 2 goals for the national team, as well as a bit of a lovely little B appearance and under-21s. Other than that, there's some bits in his family life which I'm not going to kind of touch upon, but he's been around. Do you think that's a bad career, good career? When you look at that, it's quite unique. A player going to play, a boy from East End London goes to play in Brazil.
It's very unique.
Many people, yeah.
Yeah, it's very unique. I think
it shouldn't really happen, should it?
That's the thing. Yeah, it shouldn't. It shouldn't happen for someone that's played in the Premier League and had some big clubs there, like Fenerbahce and Galatasaray, who are big clubs, even if they're outside of the mainstay of the European leagues. They're big clubs, but it's interesting you mentioned Ravel Morrison because it's similar because he had a stint in Mexico as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he's gone to Mexico. Yeah,
and you sort of feel like that Celtic stint should have been longer, maybe, if you're dropping down again from Premier League to Scottish Premier League and, having a good stint at Feyenoord and then not making it stick, it's...
He seemed to settle in Turkey, though. He's kind of got...
Yeah.
He spent, 4 years in places, but other than that, he spends a couple and moves on.
It's interesting. Has he scored for Turkey? Twice?
Yeah. Twice in the same game, a friendly against Estonia.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It takes the edge off a little bit, that one, doesn't it?
Yeah. How do you think we're getting in? How do you think we're getting into him? How are we ending?
I think we need to be going to Turkey. I'm thinking the problem is, two of them are league. So his honours, mainly leagues, which it's nice to be able to get into a final where you see the lineup. We have got the Turkish Super Cup in 07 and 09. Do you remember who played in those matches?
Fenerbahce versus...
Someone.
Yeah, Galatasaray or Bursaspor. Yeah, Besiktas, someone like that.
And thankfully, we've not used Fenerbahce, which is quite nice.
Good. So, do we think linking two journeymen is going to be tough? Is it going to be hard?
It becomes harder because they won't be established and won't be on the team's main page, for example. And, have they won silverware? And if you've got a one-club man, it's easy to get to because they'll be listed on a page. They would have, if they were at a successful club, they'd have been there when honours are won. So, yeah, I think this is a little bit more difficult, especially with the list of clubs we've got. Has Lutz played in Turkey? Have we got anything to link us there?
No, I don't think so.
So where we wanted to go, you wanted to go to Dunedin Technical. We've got a number of clubs to choose from. There's a few players mentioned. I've got a feeling we've thought of St. Louis City SC before. Does that ring any bells?
Was that
in the MLS?
Yeah, was that the... Oh, the wizard. What was his name? The dribbler. No, he played for Everton.
Oh, Preki.
Preki, yeah. Was that St. Louis? St. Louis?
Maybe. He had some indoor football team as well, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, I want to go and find out where Dunedin Technical is. Because I can't... It's such a generic name. I can't.
It's very English as well, so it feels like it's English speaking. And we've gone for Ireland and Scotland so far, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, Scotland might not be bad, you know, Celtic. So, yeah, let's go Dunedin Technical. Okay. And Dunedin Technical, locally known as Tech, is a semi-professional...
In New Zealand.
Team in New Zealand. English speaking, hey? Founded in 1920, nicknamed Tech, and... Oh, there's very little to work with here.
This is... So, my worry... is that now as soon as I read New Zealand, I was like, this is going to have zero links out of it to anything other than New Zealand football.
Yeah, I had to scroll down to it. So in terms of links we've got out, Association Football, Dunedin, New Zealand, the ODTT Football South Premier League. I don't know what that is. We've got the Chatham Cup, which is a New Zealand's premier knockout football competition. Which team has reached it the final on four occasions. We've got a cup final win in 1999. We can click on which way beat... Waitakere City FC, but they were losing finalists in 1964 and 1998 and 2008. We have the New Zealand National Soccer League, which was Dunedin's best season in the year 2000 when we finished third. Oh, it gives us an answer to another question. Prior to the creation of the New Zealand National League in 1970, King Edward Technical College Old Boys were Otago Regional Champions. That was a club on his page, wasn't it? Otago?
Nope.
Otago United, yes.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Otago United, yeah. Afterwards, yeah.
He's lived a nice life, like living in New Zealand and Canada. That's sweet.
That sounds very nice. I mean, I was a little bit concerned as well. You get down to notable players, and I don't recognise any of them.
I mean, one's so notable we don't have a clickable link, but we have... Andrew Boyens, Sam Jasper, Neil Jones, Graham Marshall, Blair Skular. Oh, in terms of quality of names, Blair Skular is the one which is standing out.
Yeah.
Is that where we're going?
I think it's either Blair Skular or I think Waitakere City FC have played in the Club World Cup.
Really?
I think they've, you know, because obviously, you know, when the English and the Brazilian teams enter, there's rounds before that have a knockout. I think previously Waitakere City FC have played as like New Zealand champions and then they beat the A-League team and then they got into the first qualifying of that or something.
That would seem a better one than Blair Skular, who we have no knowledge about. Why is he so notable?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm interested in with the players. Why are they so notable? Because then it could link you to the New Zealand national team and you can get back to like Chris Wood, who at least is playing in a good league and stuff like that. But
yeah.
Waitakere City FC, I'm now thinking that could have been a Football Manager save where I've seen their name in that competition.
All right, Blair Skular it is. This could be the first time we are completely...
stumped.
...blocked off here.
Yeah.
We have no idea the quality of this. Right, let's go for it.
Blair Skular.
Well,
oh, God. Straight away, I'm drawn to it because there's a club there that says ASV yes. Sham. Oh, no, that takes us back to Lutz. He played for them.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway.
So Blair Skular, there's probably about 20 words on the page. A New Zealand squad player plays a midfielder. Skular made a solitary A national appearance for New Zealand against Oman in Malaysia on 17th of August 2000 at the Madurke tournament, a competition New Zealand went on to win.
I really want to know what the Madurke tournament is.
Oh, of course he does.
Right, he has played for Ballymena.
Probably our best place out of this.
Ballymena United, ASV Sham, Charleston Battery, which is in MLS. Back into and gets over to the other side of the world. Royston Wakari, Otago United, Canterbury United, and then back at Otago United again. My concern, Josh, is that this is a notable player for that team, and it's literally he's had one A international appearance.
It's a semi-professional team, Dave.
True. Are we going to the Madurke tournament?
Madurke tournament. Madurke.
The Madurke.
There we go. We've got some words.
Lots of words.
Oh, loads of words.
Friendly football tournament held in Malaysia to commemorate Independence Day. Competition bears the Malay word for independence. As of 2022, it's been held 40 times and decreasingly in recent decades. matches in Madurka tournament considered international A matches, a friendly match by FIFA. So it's a non-competitive ranking. So it doesn't give you FIFA points is what I'm reading from that, right? As ranking points. Teams from all continents apart from North America have been runners-up or champions. The finals held in Kuala Lumpur at the Madurka Stadium. An unusual feature is it has four times seen a draw result, twice with the home nation and teams from South Korea, and twice with the latter and variously Taiwan and Myanmar, then predominantly called Burma. That's a very badly written sentence.
Yeah,
I feel. Anyway,
when you started talking through it, I was like, wow, he doesn't know where his sentence is going.
Yeah.
Is this him wording it so badly?
It's a friendly tournament. There's lots of different nations that are in it down below. I'm not going to get too much into the depth of it, although there are some club teams actually listed in there, which I might go and look at in a minute. But Malaysia, South Korea, Burma, Indonesia, South Vietnam, South Korea, India, Japan, Pakistan, Malaysia, Hong Kong League 11, Sao Paulo 11. So they have some club teams?
Yeah, so it says here it's Asia's oldest football tournament, and which has invited playing nations to compete in 1957. It was a prestigious tournament among the Asian nations because the participants sent their full senior players. After the 80s, interest waned from fans and teams. Many Asians focused on the qualification for World Cup and Asia Cup and ended up with teams sending in kind of 11s, as it were. So we had Brazil sending in Sao Paulo, Minas Gerais, and America FC Rio de Janeiro. It was in, you know, Santa Catarina, Buenos Aires 11. It's a mixed bag.
I mean, I've gone down and looked at some of the results that have happened. I wanted to see when it was last played, and it was 2013. Malaysia under-23s beat Myanmar under-23s 2-0. But the tournament before that, in 2008... the Vietnamese under-22 team beat Malaysia, as in their adult team, on penalties.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. But it's dwindled off. It hasn't been held since 2013. Malaysia are the most successful team with 10 championships, 7 runners-up, and they've shared the trophy twice with draws. Okay, top goal scorers. We have Mokhtar Dahari from Malaysia with 50 matches, 36 goals. Kunshi Kamamoto for Japan, 18 matches, 22 goals. That's a great return.
It is great, yeah.
Yeah. Abdul Kadir for Indonesia, 36 matches, 22 goals. Cha Bum Kun, South Korea, 34 matches, 21 goals. Josh is trying to hide a smirk there, everyone. Just going to mention that because I said the word bum. Abdul Ghani Minhat for Malaysia, 32 appearances, 19 goals as well. So, and then there is a list of notable players which might get us.
Yeah, Ryan Nelson. Some of them. Ryan Nelson, I recognise Abedi Pele as well for Ghana.
Jacob Larson, I think, is a name I recognise.
Maybe. Yeah. I'm tempted by Abedi Pele. I think he was quite a big Ghanaian player.
He was very big. I feel like he could also have done a bit of a journeyman end to his career around Africa.
I'm feeling that. I feel like he's done some bits. He's been around.
Are we going
Abedi
for that?
Pele it is.
Yeah, go on then.
Abedi Pele, known professionally as, because he's known as, he's born Abedi Ayu, known as Abedi Pele. Oh, I wonder if that's linked to the Pele. He's a Ghanaian professional footballer who played as an attacking midfielder, served as captain of the Ghana national team. Regarded as one of the greatest African footballers of all time. He played with several European clubs, found his fame in Ligue 1 with Lille and Marseille, the latter where he won the Champions League in 1993. So this was with Basil Boli.
Yeah, it would be with Basil Boli, yeah.
Yeah, so widely regarded as one of the greatest players of a generation. So let's go down his club list. Real Tamale United, Al Sadd, Zurich, Dragons, Lequel, Real Tamale United again, Niort, Mulhouse, Marseille. So he gets to Marseille in 1987, where he's 23. So all of that is before his first club listed at age 16. I feel like we've got an issue with age here. Marseille, Lyon, Torino, 1860 München, and Al Ain. Okay, nothing directly.
No, but there's a link to,
here.
Link to France, though.
Yeah, I'm not. We have Colin Kazim Richards playing for Toulouse a whopping 15 times, but. Let's have a look at his kind of through his text. So he was given a nickname Pele due to his ability on the pitch, which evoked comparisons with Brazilian athlete Pele. He describes him as having a nomadic career, which is another way of saying journeyman, so I think we're right in that sense.
Yep.
He was a member of Marseille's magical trio with Jean-Pierre Papin and Chris Waddle. Oh, lovely.
He does have a style of play as well, which we like. As a playmaker, Pelé, they've called him Pelé, as a playmaker, Pelé was known for his speed, close control and dribbling skills, as well as his passing and goal-scoring ability. He usually played as an attacking midfielder or as a forward. He was always given the nickname, he was also given nicknames of the Maestro and the African Maradona. So they've covered up both there, Pelé and Maradona.
Really, yeah.
His sons, Ibrahim, Andre and Jordan, have also become internationals for Ghana. Andre and Raheem represented Ghana in FIFA 2010 World Cup in South Africa, while Jordan and Andre represented Ghana in the FIFA 2014 World Cup.
Yeah, are the IUs?
No. I know of Jordan and Andre.
Yeah.
I've never heard of Raheem, are you? His other son that's also played for Ghana in the World Cup.
We're short for Ibrahim, in fact, maybe gives you any difference.
Ibrahim, do I know an Ibrahim, are you?
Oh, thanks, like that. Yeah. No,
I still don't think I know an Ibrahim, are you? No.
We going to Ibrahim Ayew. So what we got in terms of honours, so French champion in 1990-91, Champions League winner, as we said, won the league with Al Ain, Cup of Nations winner with Ghana in 82, lots of individual awards, FIFA 100, obviously.
The IFFHS All-Time African Men's Dream Team 2021, which I think. Golden Foot Legends Award.
And then Order of the Volta. That sounds mythical. Okay. So his devout services to the country, Ghanaian government awarded him the country's highest honour, Order of the Volta, Civil Division. He thus became the first Ghanaian sportsman to be so honoured. He is a bit of a Ghanaian legend here.
He is.
Fun fact, I was in a taxi in New York last week and the driver was Ghanaian, so me and him were chatting about football in front. Chatting about Ghanaian footballers, and he was a Man United fan. He had the Sheriff match on at the time whilst we were driving. Different laws, I presume, in New York.
Oh, nice. But no, yeah, I think, yeah, he seems pretty good. Had they Pelé Ayew? Of the IU Pelé. But
this is a real crossroads page.
Yeah, it is.
We could make the right decision here and it will be easy, and you know, or we could go down an absolute rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a player listed who I really quite liked, and I think I don't know if you could call him a journeyman, but I could definitely list four clubs he's played for, One's in England, one's in Ghana, because that's where he started his career, because he's Ghanaian. I'm thinking of Asamoah Gyan.
It's Sunderland, yeah. I was chatting to my texter about Asamoah Gyan, saying, oh, I bet you don't have good memories of that World Cup. Luis Suarez, but you hate Luis Suarez.
Yeah, I hate Luis Suarez for multiple reasons,
I've got a strange love for Luis Suarez. I think he's just brilliant.
You know, he bites people for fun.
I don't think he was fun. I think he was just a knee-jerk reaction.
Oh, and that's normal, is it? A knee-jerk?
No, I'm not saying
maybe
it's normal,
for a child, yes.
I'm not talking. I just think as a footballer, brilliant, like phenomenal player.
Can't look past the fact he's bitten two people playing football
that we know of.
That we know of, yeah. So far.
Okay, so we think Asamoah Gyan is an option, potentially. Yes. Oh, Mustafa Hadji is also on this page. Played for Coventry. Don't know why that helps, but...
Well, he's Turkish, isn't he? Mustafa Hadji? Or is he Algerian?
No, keep going. Oh!
Really?
I think he's Moroccan.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I remember him, really good player in MLS's prior Evolution Soccer 2. Good all-round stats.
You should make a list of ISS Pro Evolution Soccer 2, and it'll be like Pelé's FIFA 100 list, the amount of people you bring back to in that podcast.
Sorry. Just for clarity, I played that game. I created a database of it, an Excel spreadsheet. I can pull out right now the list of all the players in the game and their ratings in the game, because I was trying to work out the best value for money in Master League. I'm looking at buying a PS2 just so I can get the old games.
I'll talk to you after the podcast. I can probably get you an emulator for free that allows you to play on the PC.
So confusing.
Right. Yeah. Back to the pod, Josh. Where are we going? What are you thinking? Mustafa Hadji, I wouldn't mind learning a bit more about.
Yeah, I think Mustafa Hadji is where I'd actually rather go, but I don't think it helps us. I think as the crossroads go, we've been blinded by the words Mustafa Hadji and completely ignoring better routes to Colin Kazim Richards.
My other option to give you, if we're negating Asamoah Gyan, I'm going to go, you've got two options, Mustafa Hadji or the lesser known brother, Ibrahim Ayew, who's represented Ghana at a World Cup, so he's not going to be rubbish.
I don't know. You choose, Dave. I'm happy with either of those options.
We're going for Ibrahim Ayew then, because I don't know who he is.
Okay. Oh, that's a decent sized page. So, Ibrahim Abdul Rahim Ayew, at now age 34, still playing.
In Gibraltar.
He's not that good, Dave. He's not that good. He plays as defensive midfielder for Gibraltar National League club Bruno's Magpies, which is amazing because there's Bruno Guimarães who plays for Newcastle, who knows the Magpies. That is, Dave, there should be some link up there. He's played for Nana, 11 Wise, Zamalek, Lierse, Asante Kotoko, Europa, and Bruno's Magpies, as well as a mere 7 appearances. I feel like nepotism was involved here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what my big worry is here, Josh? Haven't we been to Zamalek, the Egyptian team?
No.
Are you sure?
What, as in previously?
Yeah. We did a Mido episode.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, I thought we had, and that's our biggest way out of here.
Yeah, been there. Been there, done that. FC, where was Hoffenheim mentioned? Was that mentioned on, I think I keep coming back to.
That was Lutz's page, yeah.
Oh my goodness, Lutz, too many pages. We need to sort this out, Dave. We're
floundering.
Oh, hold on, We've got Europa Conference League is referenced because Bruno's Magpies appeared in it, played against Crusaders.
Yeah, we have Lierse mentioned as well, which is actually a Belgian team in the Premier League of Belgium, so that's not too bad a way out.
We've clicked on the Belgian league before, haven't we?
We have, yeah, we have.
Gibraltar side again was Europa, it seems. Okay, so we've got Hoffenheim, which is not linked to Colin Kazem-Richards, but is more prominent, might have some notable players. We need to get to Turkey, is my gut feeling with this, and we're not. Europa Conference League, we could have obviously another Turkish side. I can't think who's been in it.
No, there will be a Turkish team mentioned in the qualifiers or something. Yeah.
So we can kind of go a bit nuclear with this and go Europa Conference League. We've got a lovely, gorgeous trophy, by the way. Probably the best trophy I've seen of a tournament. We needed something to be good.
I love the colour scheme. That green on the black. Oh, I love it as well. Should we go there? Good.
Yeah, let's go Conference League.
Yeah.
Let's put some respect on its name. So this is obviously the third level of European competition. Now tell me, Dave, straight back, do you remember the final last year? Did you watch it?
Roma won it, but I've got no idea who they played against.
Feyenoord.
No, yeah.
Nicolò Zaniolo scored the only goal of the game. I remember watching it. It was
Jose Mourinho, Roma. It would have been.
Yeah, because he's now the first manager to win all three tournaments. He's like that.
Yeah.
And it was really well received in Rome. It was nice to see it, because it's been a bit of a, in England, it's been a bit mocked as a tournament, and qualifying for it has been a bit of a mockery. I think because better sides have qualified for it, if, say, a side qualified for it who wasn't normally in European competition, I think it would be a little more respectful. Yeah. To say, I don't know, because West Ham are in it this year. They obviously did really well in the European last year, but if sides are, you know, maybe a little bit lower than West Ham are qualifying for it, then you kind of go, oh, this is great. But because we've got 6 very good sides in the Premier League, it's normally going to be a better side qualifies for it. This is the front page of the tournament, so it's like a lot of how it works, the rules, the prize money, and then we have a full list, all-time rankings, which is quite impressive. Some sides are in there for a second year in a row. AZ is the best performing side so far. They've only lost 2 matches out of 14. Okay, so what Turkish sides we got in here, Dave?
Sivasspor is the first, and Basaksehir.
Yeah.
They're the two I've seen so far. Fenerbahce are in it, number 62.
There we go. They must currently be in it if they've only played 2 games.
Yeah, that's it. It's just a long list of nations and teams, really. So I guess we're just going to go to Fenerbahce?
I think so.
Why was it even created? That's my question. Because I remember the big conversations, was it just FIFA trying to grab, or UEFA trying to grab more money from advertising and stuff. Do you agree that there should be a third level of European football?
I like symmetry, so I'd really like it if everything followed the same format as Champions League, which has got a manageable amount of games before the knockout bits that they've now introduced. So, but now they've got that. I think it's good to get other sides, you know, around Europe and getting matches, because there's some actually really enjoyable matches in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got no issue with it. I've got issue with the current size of tournaments. So I think that Europa League's one round too big. We've now got the knockout rounds, I think, and then some domestic competitions are too big. But having a third European competition is not an issue for me.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just thinking, like, Shamrock, like, you, the teams that, if you go to the sort of lower regions of this list, where, funnily enough, Fenerbahce and Celtic are, who are actually two big teams, but, like, Shamrock Rovers, RFS from Latvia, Vaduz from Liechtenstein, surely the money they're getting from this competition isn't enough to cover if they, let's say, Vaduz from Liechtenstein had to travel to, I don't know, you're the geography guy, what's far away from Liechtenstein but still in the Conference League, still in Europe?
Will be somewhere down, but we'll be at the end of Turkey, probably.
Yeah. Like, are they going to be? Is that going to be cost benefit for them? Is it going to be cost profit for the club?
Maybe not that one journey. That might be a little loss making. But then you've got an extra six games of fans coming. If you can get the attendance there, you'll get winning the each game with money. So I think overall, surely it's got to wash its face. Otherwise, you have a negotiate. I mean. Yeah, look, a match won in the group stage is $500,000.
True, yeah, okay. Point taken. So, Fenerbahce, unless there's anything else you want to know about the European Conference League?
Fenerbahce, and then we'll do, straight off about five players past and present, please.
Colin Kazim-Richards.
Alex, was it that attacking midfielder?
Yeah.
Really left-footed Brazilian, yeah. Robin Van Persie.
Oh, yes, very nice. Mesut Ozil.
Roberto Soldado.
Oh, yeah, I think so. I mean, there's got to be a Turkish player we can name that's played for them. Emre Bezaloglu. Yeah,
Emre. Who was the Philippe Melo?
That's what I'm thinking of. Who was Philippe Melo?
He's really dirty, like, aggressive central midfielder, played, I think, with a Juve. Yeah, so, and where do we think Fenerbahce sit in the all-time list? So, we've obviously got the big Istanbul 3, haven't we? It's now becoming a bit of a 4, with Galatasaray, Besiktas, and Fenerbahce.
Weirdly, when I think of Fenerbahce, I think of them as the biggest team. And I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I think of them as the most successful. They're the one the kit I'd always think of in Turkey is probably them or Galatasaray, not necessarily Besiktas. And Fenerbahce, I think, still sort of had a pull of players that they could get. Like, you know, Soldado wasn't great for Spurs. Van Persie was great in the Premier League, but they got both of them there. Mesut Ozil played there. You've got those sort of calibre of players that they did sign. And that always sort of made me... And then I guess Galatasaray can argue the same, right? They had Wesley Schneider at one point and players like that, so... But I think, I see Fenerbahce as the biggest team in Turkey, or were, anyway.
Really? I would always put Galatasaray first, then Fenerbahce, then Besiktas in my head.
Okay.
Now, they've worded this in a way to which I think masks the fact they've not won the most leagues. Fenerbahce won 19 Turkish Super League titles, 6 Cups, and 9 Super Cups, with 28 league titles in total, including the old ones, so the National Division, the Turkish Football Championship. Fenerbahce hold a record for most national championship titles won. The other club also lead the all-time table of the Turkish Super League. So maybe they are the best, but I don't know. It feels like it's trying to add in previous titles.
Yeah.
Fenerbahce is still known as the Yellow Canaries, the Yellow Navy Blues, the Legend, the Beacon of Light.
Ooh, I like the last one.
What is that? It looks like a flower, like a leaf on their badge. I've never really kind of looked at it.
Looks like a weed.
Club. Let's have a look. Since the club's foundation, Fenerbahce have used the same badge, which has only undergone minor alterations.
Oh, Josh, the names we could have had for past players. Sorry to interrupt you. Ariel Ortega, Pierre Van Hooijdonk, Alex, Stephen Appiah, Nicolas Anelka, Kejman, Roberto Carlos, Danny Guiza, the striker from Spain, remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Dirk Kuyt, Diego, Nani, Robin Van Persie and Mesut Ozil.
Some good players there. Shame they're not in the prime of their career.
Yeah.
It's difficult to understand how this all come out because it's in lots of different sections, but there's yellow, which symbolises Other ones, envy and jealousy about Fenerbahce. Navy symbolises nobility. The oak leaf, which rises from a navy and yellow section, shows the force and power of being a member of Fenerbahce. And the green colour of the leaf shows the success of Fenerbahce is imperative. Wow. And current 11, current squad then, we've got anybody we know? Batshuayi is there?
Emre Moore. He was very highly rated on Football Manager at one point, Emre Moore.
Forward Joshua number King is there? Ena Valencia, how's he still going? I'm pretty sure he scored a goal in the Conference League the other week because I was watching some highlights.
He's going to the World Cup, isn't he, Ena Valencia, with Ecuador?
Ecuador are there.
Yeah, he'll be there.
From almost completed my sticker album.
Nice.
Okay, so from here, obviously notable players, unfortunately, we do have the Super Cups that Colin Kazan Richards played in. So we have 07-09 Turkish Super Cup. So if we go to honours... Hopefully they're clickable links. We have Turkish Super Cup 2007-2009. Which one do we go to?
I don't mind. I think they're both... Colin Kazan-Richards is going to be mentioned in both, right? It's on his honours.
Well, let me just check when he's played most. So 07 would have been his start of his career there. He joined in 07-08, so that would have been... like his first game, effectively. And 09 would have been... yeah, he's still there, still playing, so...
Should we go 09?
Or 09, just for... he might have, so he's got established. Okay.
Yeah.
2009 at Turkish Super Cup. 2-0 win Fenerbahce against Besiktas.
Your boy Alex.
Yes. My boy Alex there getting a couple of goals, yeah. I think he goes down as a bit of a legend for them. So, yeah, what do we have in here? We have... Volkan Demirel, we have Andre Santos, Kazim playing, Daniel Giza, as you mentioned.
Emre
Bozoglu, yeah. David, I vaguely remember David, number 99, who came on in 58th minute.
Yeah, I sort of vaguely recognise that name, David.
And Christopher Daum as well, the manager.
Oh, Christoph Daum, yeah, I remember him, yeah. I do remember him. Up against Besiktas in the final. Rekba Rustu.
Yeah, did he mark under his eyes?
Was that? Yeah. Who else have they got? Fabian Ernst is a name I recognise. Michael Fink. Bobo up front. Recognise that name. Wow, you don't get many Brazilian Turkish players. Mert Nobre, the captain, was a Brazilian Turkish.
The Brazilian Turkish Mark Noble. Thomas Zivok is a name I recognise.
Yeah.
And Rodrigo Tello has had a stint in the Premier League.
We're not going to find out today.
Oh, unclickable link. Yeah.
The name rings a bell for me, but I think it's through World Cups where I've recognised it. Not
maybe. I'm thinking QPR or Wigan, something like that is where I'm thinking.
Yeah, it's brave, but we'll have to find out in a future episode, I think, Josh, for that one. But, yeah, 2-0 win for Fenerbahce. Was there anything around injured players who missed the match for both sides? Delgado, Uzmels and Dag for Besiktas. Roberto Carlos missed the match for Fenerbahce. Statistically, this encounter was the 324th one since an 85-year-long rivalry in which Fenerbahce lead in having the most wins, 120, to that of 119 this far, scoring 438 goals. Yeah, straight crazy, crazy close. So, yeah, interesting stuff. Held at the Olympic Stadium, and Besiktas were the defending champions at the time. So.
The match was the first official football encounter in Turkey before the 09-10 season held, as you said, in the Olympic Stadium. The previous versions were organised in German cities of Frankfurt, Köln and Duisburg.
There is a big Turkish representative.
Mesut Ozil, for example.
Yeah. So, but that's still a bit odd, isn't it?
But, yeah, they're just trying to spread the joy of Turkish football. All right, we can click through to Kazim completing that route.
Good. I'm proud of that one. That was tough.
Yeah, so the journeyman special. Start with Lutz Fanestiel, who appeared in for, 25 clubs, was it? But one of the most regular was three stints at Dunedin Technical. Where would they be? They would be a semi-professional side in New Zealand. Not great, but they had a notable player, or notable for them, called Blair Schuler, and he is not notable other than outside of that Dunedin technical realm. He had played for New Zealand A in the Madurka tournament, Kawarai, and they had a notable player who played for them, Abedi Pele, who is the father of Jordan and Andre Ayew, and also Ibrahim Ayew, who we didn't know too much about. Turns out he's probably the worst of the brothers in terms of ability. It wasn't great. It's actually playing for Bruno's Magpies. No, not that Newcastle, the Gibraltar side. And they played in the inaugural season of the Europa Conference League. So why not click there? We thought we'd be able to get to Turkey, where, correct, Fenerbahce are currently in this year's competition. And in the 2009 Super League final, Colin Kazim Richards played. We can see him there playing midfield, played 58 minutes in a 2-0 win for Fenerbahce. Click through, Colin Kazim Richards, the other end of our journeyman special, the man who's played in Mexico, in Brazil, in England, in Turkey, and all around the world.
Lovely stuff, and it brings an end to this week's podcast. So thank you very much for listening. Feel free to send in your suggestions for Wikipedia pages and journeys you want us to do. You can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers and on Instagram at WikipediaWanderers as well. But for now, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.